Hello, hello, hello. Great day, family. I am so glad to be back. So glad to speak on today's topic. I hope you all are doing well. I certainly have been blessed and highly favored as usual. I took just another week off, guys, because, you know, every time I speak with you all, I want to make sure that I have something insightful and memorable to say. I just don't want to just be a chatterbox and not leave you with a good message from our Father. And so today's message was really inspired by not just some of my own experiences, but that of good friends and associates that I've observed that have similar stories. And I really do hope that we stir some things up today in your spirit and also in the enemy's camp. But before I delve any further into today's topic, of course, I want to welcome all of you back. I really do appreciate you guys supporting the podcast. I want you guys to know that with deep sincerity. Because, you know, when you're building something, oftentimes the enemy will push back and, you know, kind of alter the numbers and views and things of sorts to discourage you. And you have to keep the motivation of doing the right thing for our Father's kingdom, irregardless of what the enemy is doing in the background. I remember in my youthful days, I started an organization at my college, and I used to say, you know, we'll go out there with just the three founders if need be. And you have to have that same kind of mentality as you grow anything in life. If it's just you or you and a partner, you have that relentless pursuit to continue irregardless of what everyone else is doing around you, irregardless of what they're saying about you, and irregardless of how they feel about you. You have to push forward with that might of David going against Goliath there.
Yes.
And just not give in to
right.
What everyone else is saying, it's bigger than you. It's too much to take on. You have to push forward, guys. So that's what we're doing here with this Can We Talk with Jewel. We're pushing forward. And as you guys know, it is proudly sponsored by FundraisingCup.org Ministries. Shout out to them. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know who's back. You can hear him in the background. And he's one of our most loyal and dedicated supporters. I must tell you, I love having him on because he's so passionate and people have such strong opinions about what Brother Thomas brings to the table. So whenever he has a chance, I pull him in and ask him if he's available. And by the grace of God, he always makes time for us. So we're very thankful to have his time and his authentic views back on the show today. So without further ado, I want to welcome back Brother Thomas.
Thank you, Jewel. I really appreciate it. I am going to adhere to some of the comments that were made this last time. I think it was some of the earlier comments where they felt like I over-talked to you, and I don't want to do that. I mean, we all have our equal time. We have our equal time with God, so we'll make sure we have our equal time on the podcast as well. And, you know, I do get passionate sometimes, and I get wound up sometimes, and I just need to be able to kind of control it a little bit more and listen a little bit more and still trying to just chime in. And I do appreciate that person coming on and saying it. Helpful criticism, any kind of criticism is good, even if it's a negative criticism. I mean, it shows y'all are listening. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
It could be that we're just speaking to ourselves, Jewel, and no one else is there, but that's not true. You know, we've had, you said, 7 or 8 people that responded from last week's podcast, and that's amazing considering it was over 2 hours long. And I just want to commend them for their dedication. I really, really do. I really do.
Yes, yes. You know, seeing your responses come in, your feedback, it's really endearing and supportive. And, you know, I want to, of course, let Brother Thomas know that I'm a big girl, so I don't take offense easily when he has some things that he wants to share with you guys. And when I think that my point is valid or strong enough, I will let Brother Thomas know that.
And that's all I ask. You know, you can tell me, you can say, Brother Thomas, I need to say a few things. And just, you know, mm-hmm. I'll wait for the pause, the pregnant pause. And then and then I'll start up again.
Yes,
I think that's a lesson learned.
Yes, but, you know, as Brother Thomas said, all feedback is good feedback. And I want to definitely thank that listener for noticing that he wanted to hear more of the point that I was making last week. And we will try our best to be more fluid with our thoughts and respect each other's time.
Well,
so
and then the only other
that.
Thing that I would the only other thing I would add to that be I do hope that one day we do have some other guest speakers to come on and to tell their story. If I could tell my story, people, anybody can, and that's the God honest truth. I was not a public speaker. I didn't take public speaking in school. I did theater, but again, that was playing a role. This is not a role. This is me, you know, being up front and forward, and it's something I've never done before. I've never been a voice, but you know. I guess I go back to what Sean said, the author of the book, Awakening the Republic. He said, I'm a force to be reckoned with. And I think that's God. I think God has given me the strength and given me discernment and given me the will and fortitude to forge on to the victory. And because there's so many times I could have folded up my tent and gone home. I'm serious. But, and that's the other thing. If you think that you're out there alone, you're not. God is just a voice away, a voice away. And that's amazing that you can just, you know, feel his presence and know that he's there and he gives you that feeling of comfort and love. And that's what we need. That's what we all strive for. So, you know, thank God. Praise God. Thank God.
Praise God. Praise God. So, guys, the last 2 weeks, we have spoken about the secrets behind sexual deviant behavior, all in respect to this whole Valentine's Day. And we discussed mothers sleeping with grandparents, spouses sleeping with mothers, sisters sleeping with brothers. And then having these innocent little children born out of these reckless, lustful acts, and then furthermore being victimized for it, and in hopes of it all being swept under the rug, right?
Right.
Well, you know, we talked about how, you know, certain occults groom individuals that experience this stuff to somewhat have a bond over that kind of, it's trauma bonding, I think it would be called, mm-hmm. in order for them to recruit individuals and so forth. So, you know, with that spirit intact, we're going to continue a little bit more talking about the spirit of lust this week. You know, I think February is a key month to talk about this stuff because one, hey guys, it's really cold outside and we know what happens when it gets really cold. People tend to cuddle up more. So, and with all of the loving hearts and you know, the different holidays that encourage fornication and lustful behavior. Mm-hmm. We want to give you a little bit of background into what's behind it, what occults are doing, and kind of open your eyes so you see things in a spiritual frame of mind.
Well, Jill, one other thing to add to that is you realize we're coming up on spring. And spring is when, you know, the body goes through transitions and urges and all that kind of stuff. So we're on the cusp of that right now. So that has to be a preparation as well.
Absolutely. We all know that, you know, with the next holiday coming in, it's going to be Easter, and that's when they talk about the eggs mm-hmm. and the little bunnies, the eggs being fertilized from all the activity in February.
Mm-hmm.
And the little bunnies that are going to come about from that. So I think today's topic, if I haven't said it already, is let them pray while you pray. And those of you who have not caught on to what we're throwing out there, when we talk about them praying, it's not the P-R-A-Y that they're doing. They are praying, P-R-E-Y,
mm-hmm.
on you while you
targeting.
Are
mm-hmm.
A.K.A. targeting, while you are P-R-A-Y praying.
Yes. Yes.
And how they do this is hopefully by keeping you misinformed, asleep, mm-hmm. too busy with work, too busy mm-hmm. with kids to dissect life mm-hmm. and scripture and understand what's happening behind the veil. And so mm-hmm. that's where we come in. And, you know, as you set some time aside to wash dishes, drive in your car, turn on the podcast and have a listen, and mm-hmm. then you dissect the information on your own and see if it makes sense to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with that respect, I want to talk a little bit about the some of the deities that occults call on. Not just during these holidays, but when they often want to prey on individuals
mm-hmm.
unsuspectedly.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, Brother Thomas, we had a podcast where we talked about Loki.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that podcast. Those of you who follow us closely recall we spoke about the whole sneakiness of Loki and you know, mischief that he causes with confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, we're going to talk about another deity, also known as a prince of hell, which is Asmodeus.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to share these names with you because many of them are not included in our scripture because texts were taken out of our scripture, and
mm-hmm.
some of them were hidden. Some of them are in other books that are affiliated with our scripture, like the Apocrypha.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's Jewish books as well that
yes.
confirm a lot of this information if you want to do
yes.
research on your own. I'm going to ask Brother Thomas, because I gave him a little homework to come on the show. He's such a great resource in terms of academia and just a very talented individual when it comes to researching things. And I said, Brother Thomas, can you do a little research on Asmodeus and
mm-hmm.
In reference to being the demon of lust.
Certainly.
And
I have it pulled up on my phone right now.
Mm-hmm. I would love to hear a little history about Asmodeus, and then I'm going to discuss with you why it's important to call out these deities by name because we need to dismantle and disarm them.
And that's one thing that we've not been taught in church. That's we've never been taught to fight off demons. We have not. And I'm telling you, people, there are demons a-roaming, and we got to get involved with them. Huh, Roman. That's interesting. I made that little pun there, but it is the truth because they are demons of Rome. And, you know, it goes back that far. It goes back to, you know, when the Bible was constructed and that the demons were actually in the Bible, and Jesus, Yeshua, when he was here on earth, he dealt with the demons and cast out demons. So it's not anything that we've not known. It's just it's not been preached, and there's not a lot of knowledge that goes along with it. So we're going to try our best to give you our little synopsis of it, and hopefully it will help.
Yes, please.
Okay. So are you ready for me to say?
Yes. Yes.
All right. So Asmodeus, not Amadeus. I'm so sure some people are thinking, oh, she's saying Amadeus. No. Although that was music. No. This is Asmodeus, and he's known as the demon of lust. And let me tell you a little bit about him. So it's found in the book of Tobit. Asmodeus in the book of Tobit is hostile to Sarah, Rachel's daughter, and slays 7 successive husbands on their wedding. And so I'm going, wow, okay, that's interesting that, you know, she lost 7 of them, and that, you know, it's something that you're going with, and I'm saying, all right. And I have lost my page already. Don't you just love this? Hold on. I'm having technical difficulties here. Let me get back. That's what happens when you pull up too much stuff on your phone. I will go through and say this. Anyway, it is a demon. It's a demon of lust. It's something that is prevalent. It's around Valentine's time. It's also, you know, it has to do with, I got it back. So anyway, what it said was, it's talking about in Christianity, and it's talking about that, you know, it has to do with Sarah, the marriages of Sarah. And so he is known as the demon of lust. And then, let me get this part about it. What did it do? Entomology? Maybe it's there? No, it shows a picture of him. Asmodeus is believed to derive from Avestan. It's about a lot of technical stuff, but he is a demon. But apparently, he did, apparently attack this woman who, I guess she had been married, successively, and at least, and it's amazing, 7 times, I tell you, 7s are so much in everything. But anyhow, of how that, you know, demon, can do this, and they are doing it even today. And these demons, we need to know how we can cast them out. And I'll say this, that, you know, you've got to first believe there are the demons, and they are, you know, some people used to think, oh, we can't talk about demons, you know, that they're just, you know, that's just like a myth. They're not real. No, they're very much real. And they're very much alive, and we're very much dealing with them, and dealing with them a whole lot these days. It's something that we weren't, I guess, talked about in church. I think a lot of places that we heard about demons was if you went to see the, oh my God, I remember the movie came to town, The Exorcist, you know, and they were talking about demonic possession and all these kind of things, and you know, Raven and what she did, and her twisted her head around, and I remember many people walking out of the theater because they had never seen anything like it. But you know, I think the lesson is here: don't shy away from those demons. You know, you shouldn't, because those demons are there, and you need to recognize them. You need to see the force that they are there. They are in the shadows. They're definitely in the shadows, but what they want to do is pull you into the shadow, and they want to possess you, and you know, they're like a handyman of the devil, and they do his dirty work for him, and So some people you'll even say, my goodness, that person is demon-possessed. Well, that could very well be. Some people, I was telling Jill about this earlier in the week, I was saying, you know, maybe in psychology, you know, we said that there had to be something wrong with the brain that made somebody be schizophrenic or have multiple personalities. I don't think so. I think they are demons. I think that they do, like if you talk about in the Bible, when Jesus, you know, cast out the demons, remember that if you know the story about Legion and that he was talking to this man and he knew that he was possessed. And so Jesus confronted the demon that was in him, or demons, and he says, who are you? What is your name? And he says, Legion. And he says, now I have you, and you are going to be cast out. So I'll give you a choice of what you can do. You can be cast out, and you decide where you want to go. And so the demons realize, you know, they are not going to be able to stay in that body that they were in. And they're going, what do we do? Well, we'll go into those swine, those pigs that are right along beside the road there. Okay. Jesus says, go ahead, we'll do that. Now they did. And then, of course, they went berserk. They went nuts, the pigs did, and they all went over the cliff. So that's one demon or a group of demons that was taken care of. But where there's one, there's two, there's three, there's more. And so you just got to realize that, be strong in your faith. Be strong in asking God for assistance, for help. If you have a Christian friend that you can have help you, pray with you, that's also a benefit, definitely a benefit. Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing, Brother Thomas. I want to emphasize that the Lord has made us more than conquerors, right? So we can conquer these demons, and I don't want people to feel or become overwhelmed at the thought that, oh my goodness, there's, you know, a demon of lust that may have entered my spouse who has sex addictions or whatever it may be. Please understand that God has given us the tools and authority to cast them out. The Lord said we will do greater things than he did on this earth. So I definitely want you guys to lock that in. As for this particular one, Asmodeus, he was very high ranking.
Apparently, I just read this, Jewel. I pulled back up what I lost before. He is the big old bad guy of the demons. He's the worst of the demons, is what they describe him as. Worst of the demons. Mm-hmm.
Now, ironically, Satan himself considered him weak because he's the easiest to conquer through love. Mm-hmm. But don't underestimate him. This is what I want to emphasize here. I say that because this particular one, we talked about Loki before, but this one is a heavy hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I don't know, we talked briefly before about monitoring spirits, and as a high-ranking demon, he can also come with monitoring spirits. And monitoring spirits can monitor families for generations. And what you will find oftentimes is that sinful behavior often repeats itself from generation to generation. You can have one person in your family that's a drunk, and then their child is a drunk, and then their grandchild is a drunk, and it kind of repeats itself. And it's the same thing with dealing with this particular demon, Asmodeus. When he said...
Let me interrupt just a minute, because I didn't get to read the part where I just found about Asmodeus. And what it said here is, perhaps Asmodeus punishes the suitors. They remember there were seven suitors for their carnal desire. Since Tobias prays to be free from such desire and is kept safe, so Asmodeus, they use like a fish's head and a fish's heart and liver, and they put it on hot coals and the vapors. It drives the demon out. And so then it says Asmodeus is also described as an evil spirit in general. So he not only is he a spirit of lust, but he's also evil. So he can make you, when you're going in those acts of lust, it can turn you evil. You know, where,
yeah.
like we were saying before, you know, you don't realize the steps that you're going into. You think it's just, you know, you and some, and another partner, but you don't know who you're affecting, like family members, your children, that kind of thing.
Excellent point, Brother Thomas. I think it leads right into, how occults would call on the, demon Asmodeus, in their sex rituals. And their necromancies and all of that stuff. When you are intimate with people in these occults, you have no idea if they are performing a ritual on you and calling on Asmodeus to assist them in making you love stricken.
Well, I just noticed something in here too, again, about Asmodeus, and it says that in the Bible, that it says, but besides that, there is one feature in which he parallels Asmodeus in as much as his desire turn upon Bathsheba and later Solomon's wives. So, you know, David was tempted. I mean, Bathsheba knew what she was doing by bathing up there on the rooftop. And I think in her way, she thought, hey, he's a better looking guy. You know, I got my guy, but you know, and I just don't feel like he's the one. And so basically, you know, she tries to sway David and does. And so then David sends her husband into the front of the battle and he's killed. You know, he's killed. And so then she's saying, oh, poor me. I don't have a husband. And so David says, but you will, you know, I will take care of you. I've loved you from afar. And yeah. So, you know, even the good David can be swayed. Most definitely.
Yes. Through lust. And that's key, is that we have to protect our flesh, from what we see. David was watching her in a way that's not natural, okay?
Right.
Because
she did put herself out there on the roof. I mean, you know, if he's out there, you know, looking at the sky and all of a sudden he sees her down below, I mean, you know, he should have turned away from it, but, you know, that's just that sinful nature. But, you know, she should have been out there on the roof in the bathtub. You know, she knew what she was doing. She knew exactly what she was doing. So,
and this is how the demon uses someone like Bathsheba to make David lust over her for fortune, for fame, for some type of relevance that she desired so much so that she would be willing to kill off her spouse for it. These lessons of the past are so relevant today, because I think many people think, oh, you know, we're so far past that. I can't imagine my spouse doing something so so demeaning to me or them,
right.
For fame, for recognition, for clout, but it's the same thing happening just a different day.
I know it's one other thing, and this is concerning Solomon, and we know about Solomon. And so in this he says, in the Testament of Solomon, a 1st through 3rd century text, the king invokes, and I did not know this, it's something new, invokes Asmodeus to aid in the construction of the temple, Solomon's temple. The demon appears and predicts Solomon's kingdom will one day be divided. Testament of Solomon, verse 21 through 25. And when Solomon interrogates Asmodeus further, the king learns that Asmodeus is thwarted by the angel Raphael, as well as by she-fish found in the rivers of the Assyria. He also admits to hating water. So Asmodeus doesn't like water. And Asmodeus claims that he was born of a human mother and an angel father. Wah-ha-ho. Okay, then. So, you know, that's that going back to the Nephilim, where, you know,
Nephilim
you had...
Yes.
So it all hinges on, you know, what happened in heaven. What happened in heaven came down to earth. And, yeah, we're still dealing with it. still dealing with it.
Yes. And that's the thing is that with this information, it's key to know not just what prayers to say, because I encourage you guys, Psalm 91 and 23 are very heavy. I always remind, that's a go-to whenever you're really dealing with anything that's, you know, a spiritual warfare of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, I would also say, I would say when we kind of touched on it two podcasts ago, the book of Malachi. The
yes.
book of Malachi has about fighting off the demons, and
exactly.
we were not taught that in school. We were not taught that in church. No.
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
And I'm glad it's actually in our Bibles. They didn't leave that one out. They could have. They could have chosen to, but they didn't.
They did not. But dealing with the spirit of Asmodeus specifically, notice that Solomon said to call on
mm-hmm.
Raphael.
Yes,
and I want
the angel Raphael.
To keep that in mind when you notice you're dealing with that spirit, a heavy, promiscuous person,
mm-hmm.
someone, because if they are encompassed with
yeah.
that particular
yeah.
demon, that is very difficult to
right.
to fight off by yourself. I'm
well,
not
you know the song, you know the song. You know the song, Jewel, I put a spell on you? Well,
yeah,
that's exactly what someone has done. And when you realize that someone has put a spell on you or you know of somebody that a spell has been put on them, that's when you should call on Angel Raphael to, you know, help shield you from that demon possession. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. And there's more details in the Apocrypha if you guys have a chance to pick up that book, which is so insightful, that tells you exactly what kind of deity is associated with particular sins, because Jesus said to call them out by name, and they actually list the different names in the Apocrypha, which is helpful. But even if you don't know their names per se, just calling out the sin in and of itself and knowing what scriptures to go to for assistance, that
yes.
that can be very helpful.
Yes.
You know, Brother Thomas didn't go fully into what happened with Asmodeus and Solomon, but he ultimately tricked him, I recall, Raphael had to intervene for Solomon's.
Well, I'm reading it right now. It said that that basically, you know, Solomon realized that he was being thwarted by this Asmodeus, and that the Asmodeus was up to no good in trying to
yep.
instill direction into Solomon's temple. And so, you know, Solomon reached out to Raphael, and along with, apparently there was some kind of fish that was in the river Assyria. And so they used that and also realized that they found that there was a weakness. And all demons have a weakness. And apparently this
mm-hmm.
demon, Asmodeus, had a weakness of hating water.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, they've even showed, I mean, you think about it, Wizard of Oz, and there's a lot of things, a lot of parallels with the Wizard of Oz these days. But if you think about it, how did they destroy the Wicked Witch? How did they? Water.
Mm-hmm.
Water melted her, you know?
Yeah.
And so they're saying that, you know, there are a lot of demons, I guess, that, you know, they anything that's really of a natural
yeah.
element, and water is a natural element, H2O, it's something that they're fearful of. Mm-hmm.
It's especially salt water. I know we talked about salt quite a bit in other podcasts and how it can be used to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of witches and so forth don't really care for salt water.
Right.
I'll
just say this. I found something else here just looking at this, and it's saying as far as Asmodeus, his power was the strongest, and other demonologists asserted that his zodiacal sign was Aquarius. Are we not in the age of Aquarius now, Jewel?
We are in the age of Aquarius, the age of truth, which is actually a topic for an upcoming podcast where we're going to talk about the truth. But yes, it's interesting how things are coming together for a time like this. And, you know, I just want to encourage you guys to know a little bit about what we're dealing with here and understanding how certain individuals can become so ruthless with that entity that would boggle your mind and say, okay, it's one thing to have to be lustful, but it's another thing to be willing to kill to gain something in addition to that lust. Now you know you're dealing with a whole nother in this individual. And we're seeing stories more and more of people that have gone missing, killed, murdered from individuals that they believed loved them, that they had no clue that they were part of these cults, and calling on these deities and having no idea what they're calling on. That's another thing. People are very naive, and they're so eager to join different groups, not knowing that they're opening up hell's gates on not themselves, not just their families, but generations to follow. Really selfish, I can tell you, as a generational curse breaker, it's sometimes frustrating thinking about, you know, fighting off all of these curses that different individuals in my family brought on through their greed and their need for power and just sexual deviances that they want hidden, having to take that on and feeling like, Father, I didn't do these things. Why am I bearing the grunt of their actions is really, really frustrating, to say the least. And so,
well, I just noticed something. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me just finish this last statement, Brother Thomas. When you hear these stories of these young women going missing and these young men joining these Masonic groups, you know, in hopes of being or attaining this 33rd degree and sacrificing these young women, it's very painful to hear, because these women not only did not know that they were dealing with someone that was calling on a deity like Asmodeus, but they would have never welcomed that deity into their family lineage. I just wanted to get that thought out, Brother Thomas.
Very good. So here's the other thing I found out about, and it's called the Lesser Key of Solomon. And what it is about is saying Asmodeus appears as the king Asmodee in Galatia, where he is said to have a seal in gold and is listed as the number 32. Now, that's significant for right now, people. Now, here's the other thing. He is strong. He is powerful. He appears with three heads. First, like a bull. Second, like a man. Third, like a ram or a goat. What have we heard recently about goat? Think of it. And the tail of a serpent. So this deity, this demon, has all of these characteristics. And we are seeing that right now. Right now. That demon and that allegiance that we're placing on this particular demon is right now, right smack dab in front of us. Every single day. You've got them showing the signs of it. P. Diddy, all of them are showing the visible signs of their worshiping of it. That's what they're talking about. That's what they're talking about. Asmodeus.
And again, many of these individuals. I'm not going to name them because there's far too many to name, and more of them are coming out anyway in the media day to day.
It's scary to see how many there are, too. I mean, it's just where are they all coming from?
From musicians to politicians to religious leaders being exposed daily. But I will say this, and I speak passionately about it because I do have family members that are a part of these groups and were willing to sacrifice me
and my children
as well. Well, you know, that's another story in and of itself. But for someone who has gone through, you know, the awakening and fighting off what's been sent to me and my family, and exposing as much as I can for others to protect themselves. Because every time, as I said, that I hear of people going missing with their children, it hurts me deeply because I know that that could have been me. And I don't waste a waking moment to try to show guys and all of you guys red flags, try to share with you how important being spiritually grounded is, because that's what saved my life, what saved my family. And this is not a joke, because I, like I said before in prior podcasts, I think many people think this is so far removed from their day-to-day. They can't imagine what's happening in Hollywood happen in their town, and it's happening.
Right.
It's happening so rapidly that before you blink and you hear someone's gone missing, everyone is so consumed with their day-to-day work and their day-to-day childcare and their day-to-day whatever it is that no one has the time to think about.
Yeah.
Well, what happened to such and such? Last I saw them, you know, they were with this lover, and they seemed happy, but they're gone now, and who is the lover looking like?
Mm-hmm.
He totally moved on. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's no remorse. Well, there is right now, people are making decisions as to who they're going to serve.
Yep.
And how far up they want to rank in serving that Lord.
Yep. We're just at the tip of the iceberg right now. It's fixing to get a whole lot worse.
I mean, there's no lukewarm anymore, guys. People are jumping into the fire, and they're willing to drag you with them. You know, I said in the last podcast, who's coming with me? The agents of the devil are shouting the same thing. Who's coming with me? You know, and it's like, I didn't want to go with you. Why are you trying to pull me there without my consent? They're not even asking. They're like, you know what? I don't think this person's going to come, so we'll just sacrifice them because they're living a godly life anyway. They don't want to fornicate. Yeah. They don't want to party and do drugs all day. We'll drag them down to the pits of hell.
Yeah.
We will, on the way there, you know, we'll throw in a few lies and say that they do drugs or whatever it is. And
whatever they can to twist the story. Twist the narrative.
No one's going to pay attention to this false narrative because everyone's so busy. Even though,
and that's what they're banking on. They're banking on us not being aware. They're banking on us closing our eyes.
They're banking on
us saying, it's not in my door, so I'm not dealing with it. Well, people, wake up.
They're banking on you being an introvert because they're like, well, you know, that person's quiet as a mouse, so they will never even speak anyway. If we do all of this to them. And it's like the time has come where there's no more time to bank on those things. Introverts become extroverts. Get on a podcast. Get on a YouTube. Get on wherever you need to get on and tell your story.
Voice your opinion. If you see something, say something.
Tell what's going on. Because the minute that you doubt and you stay quiet, you will be dragged into the pits of hell. with or without your consent.
Yep, I agree. So I found one other thing, Jewel, that's very interesting. And he's called so many different names, but in this one he's referred to, and I can't believe the words here, Magus. He's referred to in book 2 of chapter 8 of the Magus. Now, here's his description of him. Asmodeus was named in the order of thrones. Okay, do you remember the TV show Game of Thrones? Well, a whole lot of stuff was told in that. So it says, Asmodeus was cited by the nuns of Loden in Loden Possessions in 1634. Asmodeus' reputation as the personification of lust continued into later writings, as he was known as the Prince of Lechery. In the 16th century, romance friar Rush, the French Benedictine, Augustin Calmet, equated his name with a fine dress. So in 1409, Lollard manuscript, it titled Lantern of Light, associated Asmodeus with the deadly sin of lust. So what are we talking about now? We're talking about that, another one saying here in the 16th century, Joanne Weyer described him as the banker at the baccarat table in hell, an overseer of earthly gambling houses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know who has gambling houses, don't we, people? And I don't have to say any more.
Now, you know, I want you to think about these particular traits. If you start to see them in someone, you start to see that they have not just these overwhelming sexual perversions of lust and a sexual addiction. Do they have gambling issues?
Yes.
That this particular demonic entity conveys. If you start to see that in the person that you're with, you have an idea of the kind of demon you may be dealing with, and who you may need to call before it becomes too much. Because
I'll say this as far as gambling houses. Jewel, I don't know if people are aware of it. They're listening in the news, but there are a whole lot more of them being created these days. A whole lot more of them. And so, you know, they don't create them unless there's a need. That's the truth of it. And so they know there's people out there that've got this attention to wealth and instant wealth and prosperity, and they thinking that, you know, well, they can just say one more time at the roulette table or one more time at the blackjack table or whatever, and they can win their fortune. And that's when they got them. And then they lose everything and their family suffers, and that's just part of it. So it's the lust of money. Okay? It's not only the lust of the flesh, but it's the lust of money as well. And we're involved in that right now, prevalently. Oh, my God.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And the lust of power.
Yes.
You know, the reason why I want to emphasize specifically power is because, you know, I've dealt with individuals that felt the need to be in constant control of other people's lives.
Manipulative.
And they're very manipulative, so much so they would even try to pin you for their crimes and play you against other people and play other people against you. I mean, it's just chaos, and we know that we don't serve a father of chaos. So when you see people are doing things like this, you already know whose kingdom they're serving. You know, besides not having a moral compass, they really have no problem creating these false narratives and playing victim and slandering, harassing, using dark magic, drugging and poisoning to steal from people and to harm them in the worst ways. You know, Brother Thomas, I'm going to tell a quick story about an individual. I think this was the first individual I ever came across that actually told me up front that they were a witch, believe it or not. And at the time, I was in my 20s, and I did not have much understanding of...
You were naive, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm like, what in the Wizard of Oz is this? Like, what are
you Yeah. The Wizard of Oz was tame compared to what reality is, yes. Mm-hmm.
And so it was good and bad that I did not have any fear of this individual. Mm-hmm. The good part of it was that, you know, I was one of God's soldiers that just spoke the truth and did it fearlessly.
Yep.
But at the same breath, I was a little naive to some of the dangers that this individual could bring my way.
Yep.
And I look back and the individual, the reason why I had a run-in with this individual, it was because, as I mentioned to you, a lot of times these witch love these false narratives and confusion. And she did something. She wrote a letter to me, and I responded. But she did
innocently.
Something
slick.
Yeah, you know, as a young person would, like, the audacity of you, you know, coming for me. Don't come for me unless I send for you was my attitude back then. And I wrote back to her, and it was real, you know, looking back at what I wrote. Yeah, I cut at the knees without any hesitation. I went in. And that individual then went and took my letter to one of the elders and said, look at what Jewel wrote. Oh, my gosh. Can you believe that she would say, you know, all of this stuff? And I remember I met with the elder, and the elder, you know, told me I was
chastise you.
Yes, you know, almost chastising me, but, you know, was telling me they were shocked, appalled. Blah, and I said, let me ask you a question. Did they share with you the letter that they wrote to me first? And they were like, they wrote a letter first. And I share this to say, this is the spirit of confusion that they walk in. They live, breathe, just false narratives and telling people one thing and creating like, they never want to fully sit at a table with truth and say, you know, because I will be accountable for what I did and say, yeah, I wrote that. But I wrote that because they wrote this. And I responded to what they brought to me first. And I remember when I brought to that person's attention, this is what you, why didn't you tell the elder what you did? And the person, and it still plays back in my mind, they just gave me a smirk, as in, don't you know, child, I do the devil's work, and I'm here just to bring confusion. I'm not here to tell you. There's nothing in that person that is of God and of the truth. And these are the witches, the sorcerers, the wizards that you're dealing with in these occults. They don't have the truth in them. They live by false narratives. They gossip. They slander. They tell whatever story they can tell to get people riled up. But when it's time for the truth, and we're gonna talk about the truth in the next podcast, Trust and Believe. When it's time for the truth, these people are nowhere to be found. Better yet, they're pointing fingers back and forth at each other and said, but you said, but she said, but he said. No, none of you said the truth. Let's get to the bottom of it.
Yep.
You set all these people in a war rage so that you can accomplish what it is that you wanted to accomplish through all the chaos. And what is that? Death, murder. Everything that is of your father, you wanted to accomplish, and you didn't care what happened to the group of people you set running around in confusion.
No.
And this is the spirit that we are dealing with. That's why I said, do not underestimate Asmodeus, because people go in and say, oh, it's just lust. I'm just, you know, fornicating with this person once. You don't know who they're calling on when they're sleeping with you. And please don't take it lightly, because I think there's a lot of people that would say, like I did in my 20s, when she told me, the woman said, you know I'm a witch, right? And I have an article of your clothing. And I responded, well, what do you want to do? You want to wear my clothes now? Like go shopping, ma'am. I was totally naive and you know, kind of made
a mockery of the fact that they're telling me that they're going to take my clothes and do whatever.
Yeah,
because
you didn't know. You didn't realize what they were using it for.
I didn't know about what their practices in these occults were. But as I've grown to know and grow to understand what these people do, I can tell you that it is very serious if you're not spiritually grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it only can take root if you don't believe in God.
That's the truth.
Have to have a steadfast belief, so much so that whatever they try to do, it just immediately bounces back off you to the point where Asmodeus comes back and say, hey, I know you sent me to hurt her, but she's one of them. She ain't like that.
she got that godly force. It's too strong. It's too strong.
Yeah,
I got to have reinforcements.
It's too much. And I tell you what, I mean, you did tell me that you owed me a soul, so what are we going to do now? This is why I say don't be naive and get caught up in these people's lives, because they don't really want to pay the price for their sins. They want to pass it. And when the deity cannot collect from the next man, they're coming back.
Go ahead.
That's when they get nervous and start to wake up and
want
the research.
Well, and that's what has happened with, the P. Diddy thing and with the Epstein Island thing, is what they did. They allowed these people to get behind closed doors, and they said, here, no one's going to be watching. No one's going to know. It's just you and this other person, and who's going to know the difference? They didn't realize there was filming, and now those films are out there. And now they realize that their secret, their dirty little secret, is out there for the whole world to see. And they are freaking out about it because they had no idea. But see, that's the thing. Don't let yourself be caught up in something like that. Don't let the devil tempt you, saying, look at it. You two adults, you can do this. And it, you got the silk sheets and everything's good and... the wife's at home and, or the husband's at home and you can have fun, and it's good time for everybody. Because now they're realizing that they've actually got these videotapes out there and they've been using it to blackmail people to do their bidding. So this evilness is festering because of what they allowed to happen. If they had never set foot behind that door, okay, then these things would have never festered to where they are now.
Yes.
That's the truth of it.
The question is why? Why did these people,
aside from lust, what else motivated these people to do some of these audacious acts?
Money.
Not just with their own flesh, but then with children. Sacrificing them.
Yeah.
And doing this for movie roles. Really?
Yeah, I would say fortune and fame. Two F's.
So for fortune and fame? Are you kidding me? I mean, listen.
And get this. So you've got these young starlets that come up. Their parents, they sign them up. For these things that they do to them. And they're saying, that's the only way we can get out of the trailer park. Excuse me? Your greed and your need to get out of the trailer park? You sacrifice your child? Really? Really?
Greed is intense. And I can tell
it
you
is.
Personally, from the time you're a early
baby, an infant,
if they look into your,
and I spoke about this in a prior podcast as well, a lot of these occults, they look into your birth charts.
Yeah.
Okay? I know a lot of people, you guys volunteer your blood to these different physicians and so forth.
They look, and especially these DNA groups
that tell you, they'll help you find your ancestry.
Yeah,
no,
they don't do that.
They're looking into your birth chart as to who you are and what your destiny is. And, I don't want to say God forbid, because it should be a blessing
if God has a good destiny in store for you. But once mm-hmm. these visions
But I think you can ask God what your ancestors are. I don't think you have to go look at a blood test for it.
Those that believe in divine timing understand that
when God feels the time is right to reveal what needs to be revealed to you, it will
mm-hmm.
happen.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of sneaking and saying, I'm going to go and I'm going to check on someone else's business because, you
mm-hmm.
know, I'm just nosy and this and that, that's ridiculous. It's absolutely
mm-hmm.
ridiculous for you to sit there and try to fight God's prophecy. I mean, you're not fighting
right.
against that person. You're fighting against God, and you're getting yourself worked up, stressed out over the fact that you are not God, and you're reaching
right.
out to
high-ranking
right. demons in Satan's kingdom to help you fight against God. Like, that's just
mm-hmm.
ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what
the
devil wants to see. See, he says if he can turn a Christian, he's won the battle. And that's what they're doing. They don't care about the lost. They don't. The devil don't give a flip because they're already lost and they're already evil. But the one he wants to turn is the Christian. He wants
yes.
to turn that person that
yes.
said, you know, hey, Mr. Goody Two Shoes, here, you know, we got some time for you here. You know, you haven't dabbled in this, you know. You haven't really lived the world. And so here's your opportunity, you know. And, you know, you saying it's always best to follow God's will, but yes, but don't you kind of just want to try just this once, get a little taste
yes.
of the pie? No.
Oh,
no, you don't.
Easy. Yeah, that's what he tells. Oh, it's been easy. You've done mischief before. I mean, there's so much more to gain from this one. And
mm-hmm.
let me tell you this. I'm going to share this with those that may have experience dealing with occults and people who are determined to destiny swap with you. The only reason that they have been successful in any kind of destiny swap is because the individual forfeited their spot.
Exactly.
And what I mean by that, they cannot just steal your destiny. You have to forfeit it by not believing in God, by
yeah.
not walking into your calling, by not living according to your purpose, by not doing what it is God set for you to do. Then you are forfeiting it and handing it over. It doesn't matter. All of the going back and forth that they're doing to different
mm-hmm.
Practitioners, none of that matters, okay? They can
mm-hmm.
bury your hair until they can't bury no more. It's just buried hair. None of it matters. Whatever calling God has on your life,
yeah.
when you embrace it and you say, you know what, I'm not going to be afraid. I am going to walk in the purpose God put forth for me, irregardless
yeah.
of the fact that some people may say, oh, my gosh, what happened to this person? They used to be
mm-hmm.
like us, so, you know, worldly and involved
mm-hmm.
in dinners and parties, and now they are focused heavily on saving lives.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what your calling is, then roll up your sleeves and get to work. Okay?
Yeah.
Don't worry about what they're doing. Don't worry
mm-hmm.
about Asmodeus. Don't
mm-hmm.
worry about Loki. You get to
don't
work.
Focus
and
on the worldly good.
You,
don't focus on it. It's not in the end, and you ain't
minute,
taking it with you.
The minute that you embrace what your purpose is, what your calling is, and have no problem in being isolated from
Amen.
Worldly people, is
Amen.
The minute that all of their work will sum up to being nothing and a waste of
yep.
time.
Yep.
And you
yep.
could quote
yep.
me on that. Tell them, Auntie
Amen.
Juju told you. Okay?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So I want you guys to take that nugget because I know people are fearful and you know, those that are going through it very early may be like, oh, my goodness, what is all this spiritual stuff being sent to me and da-da-da.
Yeah.
You may have that initial feeling of fear, which is understandable,
yeah.
but understand there was such a high calling on your life to walk into this purpose as one of God's chosen children to reveal to the rest of society what's happening and save
yeah.
lives,
yeah.
that you have to bypass that fear. You have to tell Asmodeus this, you have to go. You can't stay
mm-hmm.
here. I
mm-hmm.
am the Lord's child walking in my
That's
purpose.
Right.
Go to the
Satan.
And you
That's
say
right.
it with the authority given to you.
Move on down
okay?
the road, buddy. There's plenty more people waiting for you. Move on
and
down the
I
road.
I assure you, Okay, I can testify to this. As Medeus will turn around, right, and he will be guided right out of there with Raphael and say, mm-hmm. "Well, I gotta go back to who sent me there. What y'all doing?"
So I
want to make sure I share this information with you guys because, like I said, I was thrusted into my calling. I didn't really have much of a choice. You know, when the time came, I had to answer the call or else I would have forfeited my position.
Wow.
And, you know, I think the good thing about being a mother is looking at your children. They give you that extra push where, you know.
The fathers, too. They have an image.
And
if fathers are not thinking about what kind of curse they're going to put on their children because of maybe the things that they have done in their lifetime, you need to think again.
Yes.
You need to think again because you don't know of who is going to tell the story to your son or daughter that, you know, I saw your dad and he was out in this party and doing that with this person and you're going, huh? And, you know, and then you're like, you had your dad put on a pedestal, you know, and all of a sudden he's lost his crown, you know, and you're going, wow, and the deception and the lies that he's told to keep up this charade, it will haunt him, but it will most definitely haunt his children. It most definitely
Absolutely.
Will.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that those of us that are parents that truly want the best for our children, the idea of submitting and bowing out and leaving my children to fight a battle that I was sent here to fight, just didn't seem right as a mom, right? If I had to take this down and protect the future generation line, then I said bring it on because the buck stops here.
And it should. We as parents, that is our task. We are supposed to raise our children in the ways of knowing what's right and what's wrong, and praying simple prayers, and, you know, putting all their trust in God, and to not listen to these people of the world. And if we are not doing those things that lead our children in the right direction, we have failed. We have failed. It's our responsibility. We are the ones that they are under our tutelage, and they only do what we see, you know, what they see us do. And so if you don't treat that responsibility the way it should be, that awesome responsibility that you're given, Lord help your children. Lord help them.
Yeah.
And I mean that literally. Lord help them, because it's, you know, otherwise they're going to be attacked by the devil and the demons. They will be.
Yes. Especially if they're not equipped for the battle, start
teaching
them early how to pray. Start teaching them that, you know, the world is not how it seems.
Revolve around them.
You know,
This
matrix is far deeper than just going to work every day and coming home. There's some things that cannot be...
I'll tell you what they're doing to the young teenagers these days. I mean, image is everything to these teenagers. I mean, you know, body image of clothing image, all these fashion things that they're doing. What the heck? You know, and then if they get on social media and heaven forbid they've not got the up and up, the best of the best, and then they're crucified on social media because they're just simply trying to get up with the Joneses and they're not making it. And so then they criticize them and they chastise them, and then those people come home and they can't deal with it. They can't deal with life, and they should never be focused on it to begin with. But then what they do is that they say, oh, I'm no good. And they commit suicide. That's what's happening. Because that's a lost soul. When that person was lost to suicide, it's a lost soul. It is wrong.
You know, it's a very difficult time for our young people with all of this technology. You know, with every good, there's bad. And, you know, I see that some are prospering with the technology.
Really so. I mean, this AI thing is scary. It's scary.
A lot of them don't need to go through the channels of Hollywood to become famous and popular, which I think is good, right? We don't have to worry anymore about walking our kids down to Disney and hoping that they embrace our children to be a star if that was what their calling was to be. Now they can just get on their YouTube channel and do their little comedy skit or
they do their little thing right there, and they have millions of people watching them
and have all these followers and get paid for it. And so, you know, that's part of the good part of the technology, is that, you know, they're kind of closing that door of it being the only way in for them to become recognized, right? So that's good. But as you mentioned, the bad part is that because everything is placed on these social media accounts, that those that are introverted, those that are insecure, those that are bullied are being pegged out. And if they do not get the love, attention, and support from their family members, a lot of times they are submitting to the enemy's will and taking their own lives. And, you know, that's why it's so important to remind
Or they get into drugs, they get into drugs, you know, because they want an escape. So they'll just, you know, say, hey, you know, someone will give them this, you know, they're really depressed, and this little person comes up to them and says, hey, I got something for you, you know. You can take this little drug right here, and you'll mellow out, and you won't feel the pain, and then you're addicted to it. And then it just increases more and more and more, and they get harder and harder drugs. Then they're doing heroin, and, you know, then you've got the drug that's, I can't think of what it's called, that, you know, that in Philadelphia so many children died from, and it comes across the Mexico border, fentanyl, and that stuff is bad, is super bad. But then you've got those that are cooking up their own. They're cooking methane.
Guys, speaking of fentanyl, I talked to you guys about the occult, you know, putting stuff in people's foods and drinks. Please do not think that they will fall short on dabbling a little fentanyl in items, okay? Just some food for thought, a drug for thought. They're on next level demon time. And, you know, I can prepare people and tell them what to expect in their journey and to really start cooking from home. And I know it's easier said than done. Those of us that have multiple children, you know, sometimes it's a challenge between, you know, work, getting through all of their homework, you know, and
Well, that's just in your mind's eye, because I'll tell you, I do cooking, people. If you don't know, I do. And I tell you, I can whip up a dinner in 10 minutes.
But
let me tell you how. Canned goods.
BRD.
Huh?
I said Brother Thomas is our own little chef BRD, and I keep encouraging him to start either a cookbook or a video of cooking.
Well, I do videos already. If you follow me on Clapper, you're going to see a lot of my dishes, I'm getting a really strong following from it. And I'm amazed by it, because I'm just putting things together. It's experimental. It's like I'm in a science lab, and I'm dealing with, you know, food, and I'm realizing that, you know, sometimes, you know, you can't get the things in the grocery store anymore. You can't trust them. So canned goods, there are some canned goods that you have to be wary of, but the rest of them, I mean, you know, you can put this together, this noodle in with this bean and this, you know, this chicken and this fish, and you can make all these kind of dishes, and they are really tasty, and they're really good. And people are big on misconception about time factor. I'm telling you, I can whip a meal up together in 10 minutes. I kid you not, in 10 minutes. So you think about it. If you get home and you throw something into the microwave, it usually takes 10 minutes to get it cooked through the microwave, does it not? And when you get it, it's like rubber. This is natural food, okay? Naturally cooked. I'm spinning my own little web here, but I'm just saying, you can do it. Don't think you can't. If you just have a few canned goods, a few vegetables, a few meats, you know, like salad dressings, seasonings, you could put anything together. You can do these things. You don't have to go out to a restaurant. You don't have to say, well, you know, I work 9-to-5 job and I just don't have the time. No, you can take 10 minutes out of your day. You take 10 minutes to get on that treadmill. You take 10 minutes to go and get, that latte. Okay, then. I know I'm stepping on a few toes here, and it's meant to be. Start focusing on home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brother Thomas is very good at cooking up meals, especially with the budget, and I love that because we see all of these famous cooks and chefs on TV, but no one is equipping people on how to do it on a tight budget. And Brother Thomas, will you tell them what you got in your refrigerator, in your cabinet?
Yeah, exactly. I can tell you what you have, and I can say, okay, you can do this and do that and do this. And I'll tell you what I do. My title is I'm a gourmet chef, and I'm operating on a shoestring budget. And that's a fact of it. Because what I produce is gourmet. I ain't a kidding. I'm not kidding. And I'm not tooting my own horn. But anybody can do these things. If I can do it, seriously, if I can put experiment things together and make it taste good, so can you. So can you. You don't have to have a chef, and you don't have to go watch a TV show to learn how they do things. Start doing it your own self. Look and see what you can accomplish. Because I'll tell you, when you put your mind to things, you can get things done. You can. You find a way. Moms do it all the time. How do you think they juggle, you know, 3 or 4 kids, working a 9-to-5 job, doing the cleaning and the washing and all that stuff? How do they do it? How? Where there's a will. They have to.
I don't want to go too deep in our cooking.
No, I don't either. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just saying, you can, whatever you want to put that skill test out there, try it. You don't know till you try. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes. I have a few more words on today's topic, but Brother Thomas, I would love if you can touch
scripture
on the scripture first. And
certainly.
Then,
I'm ready to do it. Okay, so today's scripture reading is Psalm 10, and it's verses 2 through 16. So here we go. And it's basically a prayer for the overthrow of the wicked. And boy, do we need a prayer to overthrow the wicked. So here we go. So In pride, the wicked hotly pursue the afflicted. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord. The wicked, in the haughtiness of his countenance, does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. The judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his adversaries, he snorts at them. He says to himself, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not be in adversity. His mouth is full of curses and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is mischief and wickedness. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the hiding places, he kills the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the unfortunate. He lurks in a hiding place as a lion in his lair. He lurks to catch the afflicted. He catches the afflicted when he draws him into his net. He crouches, he bows down, and the fortunate fall by his mighty ones. He says to himself, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thy hand. Do not forget the afflicted. Why has the wicked spurned God? He has said to himself, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou hast beheld mischief and vexation to take it into thy hand. The unfortunate comments himself to thee, thou hast been the helper of the orphan. Break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Seek out his wickedness until thou dost find none. Verse 16, The Lord is king forever and ever. Nations have perished from his land. And then I'm going to read the rest of it. O Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt strengthen their heart. Thou wilt incline thine ear to vindicate the orphan and the oppressed, that man who is of the earth may cause terror no more. So basically what that's saying, Jewel, is those that are of the earth and of worldly things, they will perish. In the end, they will perish. But it is up to us to turn to God. When we feel we're being attacked, when we feel like there's no other place to turn, please turn back from that dark alley. Turn your face toward God. Please. He's there. He's right there. He never left you. He's always been there. You just didn't focus on him. You focused on the light of the world. You know, that's what we're saying things are now, that they were going into the year of the light. Yeah. And the golden age and all these things. And so it's going to be a thought and process of peace and prosperity, and all good things are coming, and everybody's going to get a share of the wealth and a piece of the pie. No. Know that these things have strings attached, and all they want to do is get you hooked up as a puppet. And when they do, and you take that mark of the beast, and you show that allegiance to the devil, you done lost your ticket to heaven. Amen and amen. So beware.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Thomas, for that scripture reading. I think it aligns so well with our topic, let them pray while you pray.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, as many of these individuals that are currently or have made contracts with these various deities due to their lust or jealousy and bitterness of God's purpose over our lives, I pray that these entities are returned back to these senders, and that you can come them through prayer and calling out to the archangel Raphael. And you know, the key here is praying and moving on with love. And that's why I mentioned before, you know, these entities and deities can be defeated. And, you know, not carrying on the bitterness that they want you to have from trying to place you relentlessly into a position of isolation or into a position of poverty. Unjustly.
Remember
to keep your cool. Stay in God's love and kindness and
stay focused on God. Focus on good things. Focus on helping thy neighbor. You know, don't be caught up in this selfish world. I'm so amazed when I see goodness in people. It's just overwhelming to me now, because there's so much evil. Evilness is out there. There's so many people that want to stab you in the back, literally. And there's so many people that would just want to see you hurt and inflict pain. And then when you have these good people, kind people, that show you compassion and they show you help and you never thought it possible, you never thought this person would, you need to thank God for that person. And I do every day. I swear to God I do. You know, I have people that took me to the food bank, and I'll be honest to say, people, I've never been to a food bank before, and I'll tell you, the people there were so kind and considerate and so helpful, because they realize that this person that's come into their building is not in a good way. They don't have money to buy food and to survive, and so they are doing these type of things to help thy neighbor. And so if you have someone, if you fall on tough times, and I'm not saying that it's not going to happen, because it surely can. In a moment's notice, you can lose everything. You just got to realize that when you put your trust and faith in God, he's going to send those people to you, and he surely did. He surely did send those people to me, and they willingly just take me. I've gone twice now. I look forward to the one I'm going Tuesday. and I look forward to it. And he's excited to take me as well. And we have a nice conversation while we're riding over in the car. We talk about a lot of things dealing with God and things that's going on. But, you know, it's just amazing that, you know, there also is a hunger for knowledge. People want to know what you know. Don't be selfish with your knowledge. If you know and feel in your heart that God has placed a thought or an image of someone that you should be, you need to approach this person, you need to reach out to this person, please do so. Because it says in the Bible, when you do this to the least of mine, brother, you are doing them unto me. And so when you've got that parable where it's the rich man, poor man, which we've had the podcast before, they always said that it's easier for a poor man to get to heaven than it is a rich man. And it is so true, because a rich man has so many of those worldly ties, and they can't let go of them. Whereas a poor man, he ain't got nothing. He ain't got nothing, he ain't going to lose nothing. And that's the truth of it. So sometimes, you know, we need to be focused. And yet maybe people's looking at, well, that's boring and that's dull. Okay, I'd rather be boring and dull and get to heaven instead of being, you know, high and mighty and praising and all this kind of stuff, the devil, and not burning in the lake of fire. I'll just say it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Jill? Okay.
Yes, I'm here, Thomas. Oh, Brother Thomas, I just want to kind of close out with a few takeaways that I really want our audience to hit home with,
mm-hmm.
Regarding this podcast. And, you know, I emphasize to you guys that love is key. You know, dealing with these occults, these Masonic groups, these Eastern mm-hmm. stars, they target individuals and try to overwhelm your
mm-hmm.
senses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I say that by saying it's a constructive group effort
mm-hmm.
of individuals, all either targeting you financially, as they've done to my brother Thomas, where they send different individuals to try to scam him and take funds out of his account.
Scamming, but I mean, actually, you know, just attacking my debit card. With a fraudulent transaction. Yes. And then when that happens, they freeze the account because they realize that account has got a fraud attempt against it, and they freeze it for like 20 some odd days. Well, that's 20 some odd days, people. I go without money. I go without.
Yeah.
And that is horrible.
And not to take anything away from your experience, Brother Thomas, but I'm just trying to emphasize that when they operate in large numbers, in groups,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's not easy for individuals to defend themselves. When you have a group of people saying, this person is this way, or this person
mm-hmm.
is crazy, or this person is a liar, or this person, whatever the false narrative is, typically, when you have a group of people in all in cahoots to do this, then other people will likely believe the group versus the one person, not realizing that
guilt by association. Guilt by association. Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that this was a whole structured, collaborative
mm-hmm.
effort to
mm-hmm.
Defame that individual. And I think even before I've personally experienced their harassing, targeting techniques, I too can see how I would be on the other side of the spectrum and ask the individual, well, why would all of these people say this about you?
Right.
Not realizing that, you know, this group, this is what they do. This is what they have mastered in doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think for many, it'll go over our heads to even consider that groups of people would sign up to do such
mm-hmm.
things.
Because mm-hmm. they were saying, well, then if there's two or three that are saying this, it must be so.
Exactly.
And they didn't ever go to the third. If you got a question like that, if you think this person's doing certain things or they've said that they're doing certain things, go to that individual. When I was a manager at the...
Mm-hmm.
Yes, when I was a manager, I had people that, and I diffused it this way, because I said, hold on a minute. So you're, Jamie said this about Sally, right? And I'm saying, okay, now you, did you hear that firsthand or did somebody come to you and tell you? Well, somebody came to you and told you. And so you got all upset and everything because you thought that Jamie said this about you, right, Sally? And so it said, yeah. I said, okay, did you ever think about going and talking to Jamie yourself? No, I didn't. I just got all upset and mad and got people on my side, and everybody seemed to be, I have my side, and they have their side, and we have a war. And I'm going, okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call both of you in. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be sitting in the middle. I'm calling both of you in, and each one of you is going to say what you said, of what you think the other one said. And when they came out of it, guess what? They said, I didn't say it. Well, someone said you did. Well, that's the problem. And then I step in and say, see? Somebody else is sitting back and delighting and seeing y'all fussing and fighting because it's exciting, and that's what they do. But if you can cut them off at the knees and say, wait a minute, so Jamie said this about me, I'm going to her and ask her. I'm going to say, did you say this? And if you did, what did I do to make you mad? Well, what did I do? And let me see if I need to learn from my mistake. And you can do that. See, it's human nature. It's human nature for us to think that other people are going to be honest with us and they're going to tell us the truth.
Yes.
Wrong.
Yes, that's the assumption. And and that's where I think even our investigators are going to be challenged in this season.
Mm-hmm.
They no longer can just go by the story of a couple of people that belong to these occults. You can't do that anymore. Now you're going to have to do a deep dive and really try
do your research.
Well, what would be in it for these people?
What's
to
the
all
motive?
Come together.
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
exactly would be the motive? Is it life insurance?
Yeah.
Have they all invested in this person's life insurance?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a trust? Is there some type of inheritance? What would be the motivating factor?
Right.
For all of these people to slander this individual.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, I'll use myself as an example, Jill, you know, and I told you this. I said, I do not understand what has happened to my children. They know my situation. They know it. What has happened to my sisters? When my mother passed in 2012, we all vowed that we would have a meeting every Sunday. We would have a call, and we would be on that call. Well, guess what? In 2024, that stopped. They no longer call me. They no longer text me. I hear nothing from them. Not one word.
And
I'm their brother.
My question to you, Brother Thomas, is who would be investing in you being targeted financially, repeatedly targeted?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about once or twice a year. I'm talking about once a
constant.
Week.
Yeah.
This has gone beyond elder abuse.
It's never ending, people. But you know what? I have God. I have God in my corner. I get up and I say my belief prayer every single day. I let go and let God. I trust and obey. And I just don't worry about it. Because, you know, I can't stop them from thinking the way they're doing. I can't keep them, you know, from knowing that, you know, I'm just a phone call away or a text away, and they don't care. And it's hard, and I know that people out there are hearing this, and they're probably feeling the same way about family members, and you're going to be facing it, people. The separation is coming, and you're going to be able to say, you know, God, I think even though I lost a family member, you're going to give me a Christian family member like Jewel. Like these
Amen.
People that I've had and come in contact with here in this hotel, that I've had people that I never thought possible that would ever reach out and help me. I'm just, you know, a simple messenger. I'm a senior citizen. You know, why would anybody want to, you know, reach out to me? But there are. And so when you've lost a family member and they no longer want to be with you or talk to you, look at those people that are Christians that are just, you know, being like, you can talk to them, and they will respond to you just like they may have the same issue. They may have lost family members, and they don't understand what's going on. So you huddle together, and you fight these demons, and you fight this evilness together with God. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. And one of the key things you've said before in the past, Brother Thomas, is to let go and let God. And I think those that are going through similar situations, you have to really let go. Let these individuals go, because they have already given up their souls to the devil. Once they've tried to sell you out, there's nothing you can do at this point. And the evidence is there in all of the awful things they have done and the energy they've operated in, and all that's left for those that have been victimized to do is to walk in their purpose and to share their story. That is
key. And that's what we are encouraging people all to do. Please bring those stories to us. Don't think that your story may be insignificant. My God, people, my story was insignificant. I didn't think that anybody would want to hear my story. Why? You know, I mean, why would you? You know, but there are so many people, when I told my story to them, they said, and you keep a smile on your face, and you seem to have a jovial or at least a positive outlook on life. And I go, exactly. Because at the end of the day, you know, God's in my corner. I pity the poor person that don't have God in their corner. I do. And so even though I'm going through all these seasons of Job and all this stuff, I'm not going to turn from God. I mean, they can try. They can push the pedal down and try it, but it's not going to work, because I know that God's got me. He's going to take care of me. And if anything else happens, my God, if God decides that I'm going to die of starvation, then that's the way I die. That's the way I die. If God decides I get hit by a train, that's the way I die. God has control of your life. If you give God control of your life, no matter what happens to you, you will get the ultimate reward. You'll see the golden gates of heaven. And that's all I'm looking forward to. I don't want to see this world. I don't want to see the evilness of this world. I don't want to be a part of this world. I don't. My sisters, my children want to be a thing of this world. They thinking that's going to save them. That's going to make everything be the same, because they're used to same. They're used to everything not changing. People, we are in the season of change, and you better get used to it.
Just a side note, Brother Thomas, when you said you pitied the person that came, I thought you were going to say, I pity the fool. And I think it gives a little highlight to my age there by those who know who says I pity the fool.
I know who said that. Pity the fool.
Oh,
yeah. Mr. T himself. Mr. T.
Yes, sir. I had to giggle a little bit there. Like Brother Thomas said, ultimately God's prophecy will come to pass. And what I encourage each of us, not just you, but myself included, is to have temperance, humility. And moderation will be key to getting in alignment with your own purpose.
Yes.
All right. So those are my, words of
little
advice
nuggets
to all of you. And yes, like Brother Thomas said, my little nuggets to you all. Before I close out, I want to share the comments from last week's podcast.
Yes, I'm anxious to hear them.
The most commentary we've had in a long time. So I want to thank everyone who poured into the podcast with these comments. We have really digested what you had to say and plan on using it constructively in ways that we can improve. And those of you that are just putting your blessing stamp of approval on the podcast, thank you so much.
Amen.
Auntie Gigi loves you. Okay, so we're going to start with David Ratcliffe said, wow, another amazing podcast. Brother Ratcliffe, thank you.
Ooh, that made me feel good, Jill. Did that make you feel good?
It did. Thank you so much for listening.
That just gave me a shot of adrenaline, people. I swear it did. Wow. When they say wow.
the second commentary was from Brother Benjamin Cheney. Correct me, Benjamin, if I did not pronounce your last name correctly, but he said, it's really good. I personally liked what you had to say. That guest speaker, gentleman, was a little much so, but he still had some valid points also.
I got some top pointers
overall,
at least.
Personally, overall, you all did a really good job. Oh, excuse me, great job. You have a nice voice also, not trying to sound weird, but you really do, though. Well, thank you.
Well, they thank you. We're in some kind of professional office. They're thinking that we've got this microphone. I guess we're kind of like, you know, on a TV show. And we're not. Really, y'all have no idea what this focus is and how we're actually producing this. And if our voices sound clear and crisp, it's because God. He's allowing this medium that we're using. He's allowing this equipment that we're using, and it's just speaking from the heart. That's all it is.
Yes. We're constantly testing different devices to see how they work, if we can, and headsets and so forth. But it's whatever we have at our disposal at the time being, and.
Yeah.
What's key to us is just doing the Lord's work and getting the message out there and utilizing what we have until it grows further and we get those that sponsor us. Shout out to fundraisingcup.org. People, please continue to donate to the organization. But, yeah, when we get more sponsors, we will, you know, of course, improve with our vocal the way we're received to you guys. And no, Brother Benjamin, if you don't sound weird, thank you for saying my voice. I guess I have a radio voice. Of
yeah, you do.
So
you do. Mm-hmm.
I'll take that as a compliment. And then we have another comment from Sister Cynthia Cooper. She has been a really good supporter of our podcast, Brother Thomas, and I believe she previously commented that she shares a similar experience as you with your family members. And
Wow. We
are looking forward to getting her onto the podcast very soon. She said, thanks for sharing with a huge thumbs up. Appreciate you and Brother Thomas sharing your light. You know, Sister Cynthia, you're absolutely welcome. We treasure your feedback and commentary and your support. You are a day one supporter even before I started this podcast, and I highly regard your feedback. So thank you so much, Sister Cynthia. The next, we got a comment from Ty Spreeny, who just stated in one word, dope.
What?
I love it. He said dope. D-O-P-E.
Okay.
The podcast
okay.
was dope. So I'm glad you were feeling
That's
it.
That's a slang. You need to explain that to an old fart like me. What does dope mean? It don't mean drug.
No,
I'm not thinking dopey
and
Seven Dwarfs. I don't know what dope means.
So I think in today's term, today's young people slang, that would translate to being lit.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a cool podcast. That's all.
Hey,
we
all
have
right,
to
I'll take it.
It.
I'll take. And, I guess we're dopey. We're dope.
Yeah.
We're in the crowd now, and that's a younger person saying that. So hello, thank you very much for giving
I think
us.
I'm definitely from my age group because that's a term from my age group.
Well, you're much younger. You're much younger than I am, honey. So, you know, I'm over the hill. But, you know, I look at the old folks. But I'll take dope any day.
Well,
I appreciate it.
You know, the wider range of audience members we attract, the better.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
The next commentary was from Mulindwa Kevin. Mulindwa Kevin. God bless you all in Jesus' name.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that blessing. And God bless
you.
In the name of Yeshua, many blessings.
And for listening struggling through listening to it, because we are very concerned when we go over 2 hours. We're thinking, my goodness, are they going to listen to it as intently as what we, and I do, I'm telling you people, the minute I get off of this podcast, I had Jules send me the recording, and I immediately start listening to it.
Oh, he certainly does. He never lets a podcast go without giving me his personal feedback on how it went.
So I get the heads up right away. The next commentary is from our brother Owen Campbell, which is also a big supporter of mine on LinkedIn. Brother Campbell said, "Jewel, what can I say? Brilliant. Wishing you all the best." Thank you, Brother Owen.
Brilliant.
That is really
heartfelt. Wow, so you've had a wow, you've had a brilliant. Do you feel like you need to accept the award for the best podcast of 2025?
Best podcast.
And the winner goes to...
for 2025.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, these words that people are choosing to phrase... for our narrative and for our thought processes and the production itself is amazing. I mean,
yeah.
I never thought we would hear things like this. I mean, we're just a simple little podcast. You know, we're not a professional group. You know, we're two individuals that just come together and want to praise God, and we want to tell people that God loves and that Jesus is living and there's hope in the world. That's what we want to say.
Absolutely. And the last commentary is from Brother Byron Modes, who stated, "Interesting," and liked it. Well, I'm glad you liked it and found it interesting, Brother Modes.
Especially being about Valentine's, you know, that's an interesting one too. How many times have people talked about Valentine's? I do believe we put a different twist on Valentine's last week.
We had a unique spin. We had, wasn't the typical lovey-dovey Valentine message you usually get. So I'm glad it got so much great feedback, and I appreciate you all very dearly.
Immensely.
I can't emphasize this enough. You know, it means a lot when I see you guys responding at this rate and reassuring me that I'm doing my purpose, and I'm grateful. So thank you.
Well,
so
the
much.
One thing I want to say about it, Jewel, is they're taking the time, number one, to sit down and listen to it. Number two, they're feeding on the knowledge, feeding on the word. And then number three, they're voicing their opinion. And that takes time. Yeah. So they're giving time out of their busy day to respond, and we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So with that said, Brother Thomas, if you don't mind, I want to close out in prayer. As you guys know, we pray before every podcast.
And we do.
So every once in a while, I would like to kind of include you guys in a prayer.
Okay.
And it's seems fitting for today.
Excellent.
So, those of you listening, bow your heads with me.
Mm-hmm.
Father God, you have made us and you know all about us from the day we were born. You know our going out and our coming in. You are sovereign. Thank you for choosing us before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Thank you for empowering us to work out our own salvation while ministering and teaching to others in need. Help us to seek you, dear Lord, in all that we do. Remind us that our selfish ambitions should not be the thought that motivates us to serve you through serving others.
Amen.
We are nothing without you.
Amen.
When we pray to you, help us to be mindful of just how much of a blessing it is to have direct access to your throne.
Yes. A humbling experience, yes. Mm-hmm.
That no matter when or where we are, no matter what the situation is, circumstances are, we can call you and you hear us.
Amen.
We are grateful for every prayer you have answered, whether you said yes, no, or wait.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the privilege of prayer, whether it be on our own behalf or on the behalf of others.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, as we continue to let go and let God. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, yes. Good. Excellent.
So again, I want to encourage you guys to remember that your ongoing support, not just of this podcast, Can We Talk with Jewel, but also a fundraising cup, as you can donate. We find your gifts invaluable, and we want to encourage you to continue contributing to this mission of love and light.
Mm-hmm.
We encourage you all to go onto the website and donate, even if it's just a dollar. It can make a difference.
Sure, and I
can tell you personally, just seeing the gift that was sent to a brother in Uganda, where they're hoping to build a well for their community to have fresh drinking water.
Mm.
And I think he's working on a video to share with all of our followers to thank you all for helping. It just means a lot. You know, we have a lot of resources here, and we don't think much of our dollars or our little lattes, but it's world-changing for a lot of these individuals.
Yeah.
So if you can donate, please do. It would just be so helpful for people, women, children around the world.
Yep.
With that said, thank you, Brother Thomas, for coming back on the show and having another successful podcast with such a meaningful message. While they pray, we pray. It was so deep, and the scripture was just so profound in touching on that topic. And so, again, I think we hit it out of the park. And it's always a pleasure working with you, Brother Thomas, and
you.
Hearing your insightful memories and references that kind of bring it all home.
Yes. There's nothing like the human aspect. There really is that's the truth of it. I mean, I speak from the heart. If people don't know me by now, I speak from the heart. And so I know when I've touched some nerve in myself, because I feel a tingling. And then I know that God's listening to me, or he's giving me instructions through those tingling and knowing that I'm spot on with it. And so, you know, when we do these podcasts, just hearing the words that y'all give us is such encouragement. Because I'm telling you, you know, with the weight of the world on our shoulders, I mean, it's very easy for us to say, not today, Lord. You know, I just don't feel it today. You know, I just don't get it going. And in spite of all that, we simply, you know, we say a prayer, and we take a deep breath, and we say, let's go with it, and let God run it. And that's exactly what happens. God runs the show. We do not. We are just a vessel. We are the voice piece, and he has the words to speak, and he wants the words. He wants the story told, and that's what we do. That's what we do.
Amen. Amen. So until we meet again, thank you guys for supporting the podcast. Continue to leave feedback, and we will continue to show up.
Amen.
All in the name of Yeshua. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.